afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening so soon. Bringing the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
You know, Isaiah, I really don't have a plan this week, except to pop a cold one. I hope you're all doing well, having a fantastic Monday or whatever day it may be that you're actually listening to the episode. I hope you're having a good day today. And like I said, I really have no plan of how to dive into this one, mostly because I'm on vacation mode right now. I took a week and a half off from work using some well-deserved time off to go on vacation with Leanne. Very excited to spend this time together, an extended period of time, much needed at that. And so I'm in a good mood. I don't know, obviously recording these. I'm recording today's. I'm also going to be recording next week's prematurely. And so it's kind of weird to get everything scheduled for you to go out rather than trying to do it the day before or a couple days before. You've really got to, there's so much more planning in a way that goes into it. Like, I don't know what to talk about to intro us into the guest. But alas, we have to jump into the guest somehow. And so this week, let's just dive right in and talk to Sam. Welcome into the Trent Speaks podcast, Sam.
Thank you. It's good to be here, brother.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Sam, we did a little bit of chit-chatting beforehand. I know we wanted to talk about autism today. One of the things I wanted to start at the very top with, though, for our listeners, can you define autism, like a very like broad overview of autism and talk about the spectrum?
Yeah, I can do my best. I don't know how broad it'll be. May go over elaborate, but I'll do my best to make it short. So what my definition, well, society's definition first is it's a neurodevelopmental conditional disorder that people that say they don't pick up quick. My way, it's just a different way of thinking.
I like that. It's a different way of thinking. I like that.
Yeah, it makes it short but sweet.
Yeah. And you had mentioned when you had posted, the way we had set the interview up and everything, there was a section where it said, you know, like, share whatever you want to share. And you had mentioned that you have high functioning autism. Can you talk to me about what high functioning autism is?
Yeah. So there's low functioning, which is they have the mind of a 3-year-old. There's middle functioning, which is where they probably have the mind of a 7-year-old. And there's high functioning, where they have the capability of the function level of an adult. But we believe that the low, the middle, and the high, the non-speaking, have gifts and they just need to be heard out.
Yeah, exactly. I like that mindset that they have gifts, and that's not the mindset that people think of very often.
No, that's why I'm here, buddy.
Sam, so I know you wanted to talk about why autism is relevant. First, I want to ask you, though, do you think that autism is something that we're almost too afraid to talk about it? Like, it feels like a taboo subject sometimes?
Maybe. Considering where it's been and considering how society has put it, yes.
So what has been your view of the perspective from society?
My view from society's perspective is they're partially right and they're partially wrong. Society's belief is that we won't do anything, which is not true, but there are some stuff that are true about it, and that, because that's not saying we won't do anything. We won't be capable of some actual things. Example, I don't know if someone on a low function is going to be able to drive. That's just being realistic. I don't know if I'll be able to drive. That's also being realistic. They may not be able to cook. That's being realistic. But you know what they're going to make it up for? A talent that they will have, which may be singing, speaking, being a savant at something. If you look at Cody Lee from AGT in 2019, I bet his mother has to take care of him the rest of his life. And he probably should always have to. I'm not calling around. I'm just, again, being realistic. But do you know what he's making it up for? Singing and being an entertainer. And if society wants to deem us not being capable of anything, look at Cody Lee. I think he won, right? So how is he not capable of anything if he's won a competition? A big competition, may I add.
Do you think there's just people just don't understand? Like there's almost a misunderstanding on people's part. And so maybe it's a lack of education. Maybe it's something else. But do you think it kind of boils down to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a misunderstanding on both ends. Society wants to think that we can't do anything. It's unhealthy to be what society calls obsessed about this for 5 hours, which is, my opinion, not true. But they ask me to see that. They believe that it's fine to be obsessed for 5 hours and on a topic, and it's healthy for us, and it's our only way out of feeling irrelevant.
So do you remember when you got your diagnosis and what was going through your mind at that time?
No, I was 4.
Okay.
I can remember little bits, though. I can tell you I did not like loud noises and I hated fireworks, which is kind of funny. I love fireworks now. Probably one of my favorite things in the world now. But anyway, fireworks I hated. And each time the fireworks would be going, I'd be in the other room, like in the basement.
Okay. And that is kind of funny that like now you do love fireworks.
Yeah, I love the loud at a concert. it's paradise for me now, but you take me to that at 7 or 4 years old, Sam's going to probably be running out the building.
Oh my gosh. It's like day and night basically then.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I think what shifted it through observations is rock music. I fell in love with rock and roll music, AC/DC, the Nirvana. And that kind of changed. And I think it kind of was a coping mechanism for me to finally like the loud noises, or at least be okay with it, or have it tolerable to a point.
Do you have a favorite song?
There's a lot of those.
Yeah, but, I put you on the spot there.
You did. Born, I think my ultimate favorite, though, and I'll answer this to this day, it's a tie between two, I'll be honest. So you got Nickelback, This Afternoon. You also have Born to Be Wild, but not Steppenwolf's. There's another one called Hint by the band, I don't know how you say your name. It's either Hinder or Hinder.
Oh, Hinder. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Hinder, Born to Be Wild. I think that's the best rock and roll song of all time. I think it beats the original one.
I'm going to have to, now I'm writing it down because I'm going to have to go back and listen to the Hinder one. I don't know if I've ever heard the Hinder one before.
Oh, the Hinder one's, I think, way better than the Steppenwolf one. But okay. That's just my opinion.
By the way, I can't help but notice, and I mentioned this before we hit record, that your wall is that checkerboard. Are you into checkers?
No, that's soundproof pads.
Soundproof pad. Oh yeah, you did say that earlier. So what are you soundproofing for? Just because, like,
When I record, okay, so you're someone upstairs taking a sneeze or a burp or whatever, or doing some bathroom.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Did you do that yourself?
No, my dad glued it together.
Okay. Okay. Do you feel like, so we talked a little bit about that misunderstanding or the perception. Do you feel like you've been discriminated against before because of your autism, or you're just like, I am who I am?
Oh yeah. Let's put it this way. Yeah. Not out loud discriminated, but silently judged and discriminated, okay, where they basically don't want you to talk to me and they're not saying it, but they'll do their best to get away from me. I've had people, believe it or not, run from me.
What?
Yeah, straight up. Don't know what I did. I just wanted to approach them and they ran.
So how do you push forward in those situations? How do you continue to confront that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, the unfortunate part is, the sad part is, after a while you kind of get used to it, so it doesn't really bother me anymore. So in a way, I'm kind of thankful I had it. I'm kind of thankful they ran. But I know that at the end of the day, I'm going to deal with them live. It's just part of one of the negative parts about autism. And I'm not going to dread on it. I'm not going to pussyfoot around. It's just the truth. But that being said, there are people who will make time for me, and I do know that if I find the right person, and that's for anyone on the spectrum, find the right person, whether it's 1, 2, 3 people, just a regular old friend or a family member, that's enough for me.
So how do you flip the script? How do you flip the script to say, I don't want you to see me as Sam who has autism, but I want you to see me as Sam who is Sam. Like you and I, at the end of the day, we're people. Like, we're all people and everything, and no one should define you by autism. How do you start?
Well, it's kind of odd because I'm promoting autism.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's kind of hard to answer that question. But what I try to do is just say, look at what I've done out of this podcast. Look what I can do outside. I've shown you before I am a savant with pro wrestling by telling you I can I can list all the WrestleMania main events, and I've proven
that
many people before.
I love that. One of my friends is a very big wrestling fan. He actually watches WrestleMania still every year. And I remember seeing I think he sent me a Snapchat, and he was watching WrestleMania again this year.
Oh yeah, that's a guy. I was happy with this WrestleMania. We jumped off our chair when Stone Cold Steve Austin got back in the ring.
I do love Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's been, and I didn't watch it this year, but I almost started watching because I had heard that he was going to be at WrestleMania. I'm like, oh my gosh.
But I did want to, I guess, a little bit of a brag here. I don't want to brag, I don't want to boast.
No, do it. Brag.
I had Mick Foley on my show.
Really?
So, free 5-gate hardcore Mick Foley for all these listeners out there that you want to watch the episode, feel free. But yes, I had the honor of interviewing Mick Foley. It was through a mental health wrestling podcast. They just supported mental health and supported my mission. And they really wanted to help me out, me and Mick Foley. So they got their connections and did a little magic and surprised me meeting him, because I met him 4 times. First time was I met him through a toy store, through a little meet and greet in Indy. Actually, he's actually born here in Bloomington, Indiana. Fun fact. He didn't live here long. He moved to New York. Second time was through the ANC Wrestling Podcast. I just believed my mission, wanted to surprise me. I got to talk to him a little bit. We asked him to be on the show, and he did. He agreed, because fun fact, one of his sons is actually on the spectrum. So he was fully supportive. The third time was the interview. The fourth time, he was going to be at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, and we had to attend. And what was cool is, at first, he didn't recognize me, but we were smart and wore our shirts in case he didn't, like Autism Rocks and Rolls. And he pointed, I was like, Autism Rocks and Rolls. He's like, wait a minute, I've been on your show. Then I took on the mat, like, because it was during the COVID time, still we had to be masked up. I took off the COVID mask. I was like, hey, buddy.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome that he recognized you.
We didn't get to meet. There was a VIP where you could talk to him afterwards. So we got to do it again. And the cool part was, not only did we got him some shirts, but also he made a little like video for like a little publicity video, like, hey, be on this podcast, yada, 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 yada.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome, Sam. Okay, while we're talking about it, why don't you talk about, share with the listeners, share about your podcast, where people can listen, what it's called.
All right. So it's Autism Rocks and Rolls. You can find me on my website, and I'm on your favorite media platform. If you think I'm there, I'm probably there.
And how long have you been doing that?
Since the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Since October 2019.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is there a particular, and I hate this question, but I'm going to ask you, is there a particular guest or episode or a couple of them that stand out to you that you remember that you really enjoyed?
Oh yeah. That's not a bad question. That's a good one. I'm not going to lie. Temple Grandin, if you heard of her, the biggest autistic advocate alive. She's big in the agricultural world, but yes, I've had the honor of interviewing her. You could take a lot from her. Really well. And Mick Foley, because not just because of the wrestling, but because of just really his life view. Because if you meet him, he shouldn't be late. I always joke around and say he shouldn't be labeled as a celebrity. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in the nicest way possible, because he's one of the most humble people like everyone else. And I think he tries to live like an American man, because instead of going to the bars like other wrestlers did, he was more of a reader, did a lot of reading, visiting museums and battlefields. Total opposite of what the pro wrestlers would do. He had a family. And instead of going to the strip clubs, he'd be going, finding the last flight to visit his family.
So how did you get into wrestling?
There's one more thing I forgot.
Yeah.
Instead of driving in a limo, he actually has a minivan and has done that his whole life.
Oh, that's interesting. So how did you learn so much about him? Just because of being in the Bloomington area?
No, because of me studying wrestling since I was 6 years old.
Okay, and that's what I was going to ask you, is how did you get into wrestling? Do you remember that? Because I know that was
Yes, I do remember that. Well, being a kid at six, you kind of get bored easily. And I don't remember what I was watching. I was thinking I'm watching something like a little kid show. I can't remember what it was. If I could, I'd tell you. Or I think it may have been the Backyardigans.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I think it was, but I was very young. And I had a little like TV. It wasn't like a big screen TV. It was like a medium-sized TV. So here I am flipping the channels, like just bored and bored and bored. And it was on SmackDown, and I actually left it. Don't know why I did. I just chose to. And I watched my first match, which was Sheamus versus Wade Barrett. And I think it was a tables match. And ever since watching that match, I just fell in love with it.
Wow, you even remember the type of match it was and who was fighting and everything.
Yeah, you got to remember your first. I mean, everyone does. Everyone has to remember their first, or should at least.
What was your first concert?
My first concert was Skillet concert, and actually of this year. I never went to a concert until January of 2022. I got invited to a friend.
Oh my gosh.
One of my friends invited me to it was a religious concert, and I'm not religious, but one of my favorite bands was going to be there. It was Skillet, and I knew I had to go.
Yeah, one of my friends from high school was like that. He wasn't really the religious type, but he, same thing. He loves Skillet. And actually, I see, it's so funny. That's why I quizzed you about your first concert, but that seems unfair that it was only at the top of the year, because I couldn't tell you what my first concert was.
No, and here's my deal. With being on the spectrum, a concert can be very, very overwhelming.
Okay.
So with there's too much people, I'm not a big guy of big crowds. I'm like my father with that. I can tolerate it. There's just some certain people who hate it. And I don't hate it, but it's tolerable, but I just don't like it. If it was up to me, I'd prefer a size crowd of instead of Indianapolis being 500, like over a billion, let's take that in a half.
So are there certain things where you're like, I can't go into this setting or this environment because it's going to bother me?
Yes, I think there's some, but I can't remember what they are.
Well, let me
think.
Yeah.
I probably could not in my lifetime ever probably go into a pool or go in water without swimming trunks.
Okay.
What I'm wearing right now, it better stay dry or the shirt, or it's coming off, because I don't feel comfortable in wet clothes at all. You might be able to, I know you hate it. It may be tolerable for you, but it ain't tolerable for me. It's just, it's a pinchy feeling. I don't like me. And it feels like you're getting pinched 24/7. So why be an idiot and wear clothes in the pool when you're going to get pinched?
No, I agree with that. I don't think you should wear clothes in the pool either. I don't like the feeling of wet clothes either. I don't blame you. There have been a couple times over the past couple of months, I've gotten caught in the rain here. And it's rained so hard that I'll come in and I'll throw my clothes in the dryer and put on sweats or something. Like, yeah, I don't like that feeling either. I was a couple Trent Speaks related questions, as I like to call them. What is it that you've learned about yourself?
Well, what I learned about myself is that what I should have had back then was more of a voice than I do now. I mean, I didn't have a choice really not to have that voice. It kind of was a people pleaser. But I still please people who care about me, but I ain't going to please everyone. So I'm just a people person who will please certain areas. And I was trying to please everyone by giving them what they want. And we've got to the point where I eventually just shut my mouth because they didn't want to hear me. And I was pleasing them. Well, you can't please everyone. I've learned I've had enough of that. So you had to kind of go the opposite and still be a people pleaser, but make sure your voice is heard.
So how did you get the confidence to make sure that your voice is heard? What do you know? Was there like a turning point for you?
Yeah, I can tell you that easily. After dealing with that for 15 years, I think the bear finally got poked enough and he growled or roared because I was just enough. And I was like, I'm going to find people. And if I don't, then I don't care. Straight up, I'll find myself and I'll find people that care about me, or I'll find myself that cares about myself.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I get that. And I appreciate you sharing. One of the other questions I had for you, what would you say has been the most impactful event that has, I don't even know what I wrote on this.
No, I get where you're going. Oh, that's a tie between two. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's a tie between two. One I went to, one I host Autism Rocks and Rolls Corporation hosting. And I'll get into that here in a second, but I'll tell you about the Oklahoma one first. So I'm getting speaking gigs now as well. For listeners, you want to book me, feel free. But I spoke in February of this month. I spoke in Broken Arrows, Oklahoma. It was the Griffin Promise Autism Clinic conference, and it was in Stony Creek Hotel, I think, in the conference center. And it was manly impactful because those who didn't understand us got a chance to, and they listened and cared. I didn't talk to him much, but I remember while during this situation, he was a grandfather and he wasn't mean. He wasn't a bad guy. But one of the things people on the spectrum do is STEM, which is such as rock back and forth, fidget their hands. I don't shake their head if they got to like need to pop their neck or something. And the grandfather said, like, he does not let him do that in front of him. And what he, at first he didn't, but after going to the conference, he said, well, and the guy asked him why. Well, he says straight up he was uncomfortable, but he's now learned that he needs to let him do that. So he understood it's uncomfortable, which I understand it's a generational thing, and believe me, I do. But he understands that I have to adapt his way and let him stem if I want to be a good grandfather. That's the first one. And I also got to speak, and I think and people enjoyed the speech. The second one was something that AR hosted, which is Autism Rocks and Rolls Corporation, which means I'm a nonprofit. I have a board as well. So we hosted the very first AR gala. And that, my friend, was a great day with hope, because those who heard my story and heard others, because we have had Temple Grand speak through us virtually, and she was phenomenal. There were two people who didn't like cry, but kind of weeped a little bit, because it wasn't a sad story, but hers was, she wants to be a typical grandmother who takes her daughter to the zoo, who takes her granddaughter to go to the park. She just wants to be that fun, loving grandmother, but she's learned that she has to adapt a little bit. And also, one of my friends, their family has a daughter who is on the spectrum, and she is non-speaking. Well, she wanted to like learn how to communicate with them, but she's learned that she at first thought they didn't think they were speaking at all. But after talking to Temple, I think she learned that she is saying something.
What is it that shaped who you are today?
The thing that probably shaped me today was that change. After, I think when I said the bear roared, I think I'm glad he roared, because if he didn't roar, I think I'd be in the den stuck in the cage. So probably the most impactful was that roar, because I finally spoke out and said, enough is enough. Something's going to change here.
Sam, one of my favorite questions to ask, this is the last question I have for you. One of my favorite questions to ask is this one right here. What do you want people to take away from you? Whether it's something that you talked about, or maybe it's something you didn't talk about, what do you want people to take away when they listen?
Well, I want them to take this. Anyone with a condition, whether it be autism or someone with a mental health issue, anxiety, depression, OCD, bipolar, no matter what the condition is, even if it's an eye disease, it can be maybe the first thing you see, but it shouldn't be the only thing you see. It should be that we have a talent, no matter how bad that our story may be or how good the story may be, we're going to have a talent. We're the underdogs. So they say, like, if you underestimate us, it's bad. For us, you actually underestimate us is just giving me fuel to the fire so I can show you what I can do. And if you do choose to underestimate me, that'll be your choice, but you're dead wrong to do it, because at the end of the day, we have talents. I know I have a talent, even though I'm autistic. I know my friend has talents, even though he's in a wheelchair.
Sam, I love talking to you, and I appreciate you coming on the podcast. One of my favorite things to do is to let my guest sign us out. So I'm actually going to turn it over to you to sign us out of the podcast.
Oh, boy. Well, all right. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, Trent, for letting me be on the show. I want to do that. But second, to end, I would say this. If the world can be nice and not be stupid, I think we get along great. And again, that's my opinion. But to close off, I want to say thank you to everyone for Trent letting me on, and to anyone who listens in the future. I hope you take something from me. And I'm very grateful that the life I've had, and if someone from Indiana who lives in Greene County can be successful in a way, then there's someone out there who you may look that is unsuccessful. Don't look at them. Don't take it that way. There's a chance they may be a billionaire and you don't even realize it.